Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Thank you guys once again for joining the 9-8 podcast hosted by yours truly, Kevin Thompson, founder and CEO of 9-8 Capital Group. Thank you guys for joining us. As I always say, subscribe to this dang channel. As I always say, go and get my book, MLB to CFP Live on Apple and Amazon. If you have any questions, comments, or concerns, you can email us at info@9-8capitalgroup.com. Send us your questions. Go to the website at www.9-8capitalgroup.com. Schedule an appointment. As you know, we're here to do what? Educate, empower, and engage, and also entertain. And today we're talking about those pesky infinite bankers out there. You know who you are. You know what you're doing. And I'm going to kind of dispel some myths around infinite banking and why it's not in your best interest. Let's get it. So today we're talking about the infinite banking myth and why it doesn't work. Yes, why it doesn't work. So I want to preface this by saying I have 4 permanent life insurance policies on my person. Yes, I have 2 on myself, 1 on my son, and 1 on the wife. And this is not to say that permanent life insurance in the form of whole life insurance is a bad thing, but it's to say that some individuals out there don't understand the products that they're selling and they don't understand how math works. So what I want to do today is kind of dispel some of the myths around this new ideology, because it's been around for a while, but this idea about infinite banking. So let's just talk about what it actually is, right? So I want to start you guys off by asking you this. Is infinite banking too good to be true? That's the question. The idea is you can put money into an asset. You can immediately borrow against those dollars at a favorable interest rate, and you are now effectively the bank. You can get around J.P. Morgan and Goldman Sachs and Chase and all these other institutions, and you are effectively the bank. So now you're borrowing from yourself. So why can't I just be the bank? Well, it's funny because the reality is you're not the bank. The insurance company owns the asset, and you're paying interest to the insurance carrier. Not to yourself. That's first off. So now the bank, you just removed the bank and made the insurance company the bank. Aside from that, why may it not be? Now I know I'm going to go off on a bunch of tangents here, but why is it too good to be true? Let's just start with part one. How are they structured? Many of them use life insurance to structure infinite banking types of policies, types of instruments that you can borrow against. Now, the idea is I pay premiums into a cash value policy, and then that's going to help me build wealth. And on top of that, I have a death benefit, but that's going to help me build wealth. And I can access those dollars via the cash value. Typically, borrow against my cash value via loan, which is tax-free, all while maintaining control of my money. Sounds really, really good. But here's what they don't tell you. It's not as simple or as profitable as it sounds. So let me give you a little bit of an insight, right? So let's just say we have a client. Let's just call him Mike, right? He was sold on infinite banking by a charismatic guy who just got his insurance license 3 months ago. And now that guy who got his license 3 months ago, he knows everything about the financial industry. He knows everything about what's happened in the past and why this is so good for you, because this is what he's going to tell you. He or she's going to tell you, hey, one, banks have this on their balance sheet. So it must be good. Why are banks doing this? You need to be a bank. Two, they're going to say, you can borrow against this money tax-free, and it doesn't show up anywhere. So it's not a loan. It's not a liability. It's all your money. So you can borrow this money anytime. And you can earn more money than you can traditionally do it in an investment. And you start to say, wow, why haven't I heard about this? Mike is really, really amped about this investment strategy. One thing is, depending on the policy, depending on the structure, you can have higher out-of-pocket costs in the beginning. For example, permanent life insurance in the form of whole life, there are going to be higher premiums than maybe index universal life or VUL. But aside from that, Mike's permanent policy may require him to have higher premiums to build significant cash value. That money is inside the policy. And in year one, you're not going to see a lot of value in that cash value unless you significantly overfund the policy. We're not going to get into that right now. Part two, the time it takes for you to continue to put money into these policies year after year after year, and for you to be able to start borrowing a significant portion of those dollars to do other things with, you're looking at 7 to 10 years where it even starts to make sense. And that's if you're not overfunding dramatically. If you're overfunding dramatically, that maybe brings the price or the timing down to half that timing. Maybe you have 3 or 4 years you can start borrowing against. But why do that? Well, you can put that money in another place and then just borrow against it and have full access to those dollars day one, versus putting that same $100 into an account with a life insurance policy that you only have access to a small portion of it. I don't know. The only benefit I will tell you is that you have a death benefit outside of that. We'll get into that here in a second. And finally, the interest on the loan that you're accruing. So when you borrow against the policy, you have to pay interest. That money is not free, but it's tax-free. Well, loans are generally, but you have to understand that that's a loan and how that impacts your policy moving forward and what it does to your earnings. So this isn't necessarily wealth building as much as it becomes a trap for your money. Yes, I said it, a trap for your money. So let's talk about the structural issues of infinite banking. So let's break this down. There's some structural issues that make this unsuitable for most people. One, fees. Permanent life insurance policies come with higher fees, often eating up returns over the first 10 years. In general, my policy would take roughly 7 to 9 years just to break even, and I'm overfunding it. But I'm okay with that because it's a savings vehicle for myself and my family, and I understand that. I understand it's a forced savings for me, and I have other assets doing other things that are more aggressive. It allows me to be more aggressive on the outside assets. That's for me. Two, poor liquidity. Like I said, in the first couple of years, there is very little cash value. So there's infinite banking my ass. There's nothing to bank on because there's no money inside the policy to do anything else with. These people. No, we'll get there. I get really amped about these things. Three, the complexity. The concept is marked as very simple. But managing policy loans, repayments, and all the other stuff isn't straightforward. One mistake could dismantle your policy. Oh, I forgot to pay that interest back. What happens to my policy? Oh, by the way, the guy who sold me that policy is no longer with the company. Who do I need to talk to? Oh, you're going to get me with someone else now that has no idea what I was doing with this other agent? And now all of a sudden they're going to have to get informed on what I was trying to accomplish and what I need to get done? It's a joke. I'm sorry. It's an absolute joke. So before I go to better alternatives to infinite banking, I want to kind of go here. The people that sell these policies, there's a high rate of attrition in insurance, in the financial advising, in the financial industry altogether. In general, over 70%+ of those individuals will be out of the business in 3 years. So when they sell you a policy, understand that by the time that policy starts even becoming viable for you to actually take via loan, that guy or that girl will no longer be in the business. It's a high chance, high probability that that person will no longer be in the business. And by the way, they sold you a complex product that they most likely did not understand, because you know why? Because they just got their licenses less than 5 years ago. There's no way that they understand the complexities on how this works, because they have have never seen one work itself out, and they're relying on people that have been in the business for a long period of time to tell them that it does work. B, they're relying on people that tell them that it works, and guess what? Those people are aligned with an insurance carrier that's designed to sell these products and make high commissions on these products. That doesn't mean that they're not working in your best interest. I don't blame the insurance person that's selling the product mainly. They only know what they've been taught. They were drinking Kool-Aid. So that Kool-Aid they've been drinking over a long period of time got them believing that this is damn good product, and this is something that I want to do one day. So they're doing these things, selling these products, but not knowing exactly how they're going to work out moving forward. It's not their fault. It's the fault of the agency. It's the fault of the general agent. It's the fault of the insurance carrier. But again, it's capitalism. So we have to understand that. So let's talk about some better alternatives to infinite banking. Again, full disclosure, I'm an RIA, fiduciary, and we do operate in the fee space where we charge for assets under management. We do financial planning. We do flat fee billing, hourly planning, what have you, but we operate in the fee space. So a lot of the things that we do don't work in the commission world, and we get it. And there's a space for all of that, right? There's a space for all of that. There's nothing wrong with having commissions in this world, as long as you're operating in the best interest of the client. That's our goal. So some opportunities that are outside of infinite banking could be some low-cost investments inside of an index fund. Again, I'm talking my book there. Right? Simple, low cost, historically proven to deliver strong returns over a long period of time. Vanguard, iShares, State Street, Spiders, what have you. Two, maximizing your retirement accounts, 401ks, IRAs, tax benefits, above the line deductions, offer some flexibility there. But again, you don't necessarily have immediate access unless there's certain requirements met. And of course, my favorite, building an emergency fund. Instead of borrowing from your life insurance policy, keep liquid cash on hand. Because guess what? If you have liquid cash on hand, right now we're getting over 4% in money markets. That's a damn good return. Most likely higher than you're getting into inside of your policies, because the fees, there's no fee drag in regard to the money markets, because if your advisor shouldn't be charging you fees on your money markets. You should be in an outside money market that's just getting 4% or 4.5%, depending on what you're invested in. But it's important to understand that you can also invest funds and borrow against those funds using margin at relatively decent rates. I don't know what the rate is today, but your rate, in my policy, I think my rate's 7% of my policies. It's probably going to be somewhere around 7, 8, 9%. I don't know where it is today, so I can't really comment on that. So you can do the exact same thing inside of your stock account as well. So I want to go here real quick because I see a lot of vitriol on LinkedIn and all these other threads. People that claim to be financial professionals. And I know Chuck Falla, Knut Rosted, and a lot of people said this, but there definitely needs to be some areas of cleaning up in our business. There's too many things you can call yourselves today. I'm a financial consultant. I'm a financial planner. I'm a financial coach. I'm a wealth dietitian. It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. People are making stuff up at this point. A lot of insurance guys make things up. And it's getting ridiculous. I do believe the fiduciary standard needs to be on people like myself. And we need to be holding ourselves to a higher standard as a CFP, EA, and all the other alphabet soup I have behind my name. But I also believe that insurance agents and people outside of that business need to be held to a higher standard as well. Or need to go by a certain name. Whatever that name is, you shouldn't be able to call yourself financial coach, financial strategist, financial wrangler, financial heirsman, whatever you want to call yourself. You got to go by a certain name, my friend. You can't be calling yourself financial strategist, financial coach, wealth bender, what have you. It's ridiculous. They need to clean that up because it's very confusing. So if it's the fiduciary standard, by all means, so be it. If it's the best interest standard, by all means, so be it. But we have to make it to where A, financial advisor is exactly what it means, and B, all these other names are irrelevant because they don't matter. So my closing thoughts. Infinite banking may sound appealing, but it's just another example of overpromising and underdelivering. If it sounds too good to be true, it probably is. Remember, real wealth building takes time, discipline, and a solid strategy. There are already shortcuts in this game. Putting money in on a monthly, semi-annual, annual basis. And again, that's why I have my life insurance policies, because it forces me to put money into those policies on a monthly or quarterly basis. I'm okay with that. Same thing with my 401k. But it's but we need to understand that there are people out there that feel like they know everything, and they absolutely don't, because they just got their licenses and they just passed the test. They haven't been in this business for over 10 years yet. My true belief is that if you haven't been in this business over a decade, you truly don't know crap. You don't know anything. You may think you do, but you don't know anything. You know, you may read a lot of books, and that's fine, but you don't know anything because you haven't had any lessons. Lessons happen when clients happen and things happen with your clients that are bad. Absolutely. I've had some clients get upset. I've had some clients be happy. Those are the ways you learn this business, especially when you're just starting out, because when you're starting to rely, and I'll tell you this just from an experience standpoint. If you rely on older individuals, more experienced individuals to do things for you, you will find out that A, they are only doing things in their own best interest, and you're going to be left, once you may get out of the business or go somewhere else, you're going to be left answering a lot of questions. And 5, 10, 15 years from now, you're going to realize that, wow, they truly didn't care, or they truly didn't know what they were talking about. So educate yourself. For the advisors and things on the call, educate yourself. For the clients, just work with fiduciaries, work with certified financial planners, work with people that operate in your best interest. That's all I have to say about that. Thank you guys for joining the 90s podcast. Subscribe to the channel. Go and get my book, MLB to CFP, live on Apple and Amazon. If you have any questions, comments, or concerns, you can email us at info@99capitalgroup.com. Schedule your appointment, or you can go to the website at www.99capitalgroup.com. As you know, we're here to do what? Educate, empower, and engage, and also entertain. We talked about that pesky infinite banking nonsense, why it doesn't work, and the people that are trying to say it does truly don't understand it. Maybe there's 1% or 5% that have actually worked in the past, but if a majority of something doesn't work, it doesn't mean that it's a sustainable model. That's my 2 cents, and I'm sticking to it. I hope you have a good day, my friends. Stay humble, stay safe. I'll see you again soon.